We're going to be in John chapter 8 today. So if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 8. Today we'll be in John chapter 8, looking at the verses from 1 through 12. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And the title of our sermon today is an interesting one. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. The title of our sermon today is Wipe the Slate Clean for 2019.
Amen.
Hey, it kind of goes, doesn't it? Wipe the slate clean for 2019. Praise the Lord. All right. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Let's look at what God's Word has to say for us today. It says, But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman who was caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in his law, commanded that such a person should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus, he stooped down, and he wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he didn't even hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and he began writing on the ground. And those who had heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are your accusers? Where are the accusers of you? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God, for being able to be in your house today, being able to worship you, Lord. Thank you for the great songs that we sang. I thank you for the great ways that you're working in our lives and the difference that you're making in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we can expand your kingdom, Lord, to reach all those that are hurting, to reach all those that are suffering, Lord, and to give hope to everybody, to let them know that they may be going through a trial, they might go through a tribulation right now, but God, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a place where we all, if we know you as our Lord and Savior, if we've accepted you, where we rise and we go to heaven, a place that is built in glory for us, Lord, to be with you, God, where there's no pain, no suffering, no mourning, we're rejoicing, being back with our loved ones, and finally get to meet you, the creator of everything. Jesus, what a blessing that's going to be, Lord. Use us to be instruments of grace for you today, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's going through a tough time, God, that today would be the day, Lord, where they would be able to shed that load of burden off their shoulders, Lord. I pray that if today is a day, Lord, where they came in and they're just struck with so many things, so many problems, so many difficult decisions, Lord. God, that you would just lift them up off their shoulders, Lord, so that they could have time just to meet with you, Lord, to have freedom from those things that drag them down, Lord, and enjoy this wonderful time of worship. Lord, we pray you and we praise your holy name today, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the message the Lord gave me today is a beautiful one. It's a great one. It's a powerful one. But also the message he gave me today is one where you have to be honest with yourself. And let's just be serious for a minute. How many times do you want to be honest with yourself? Probably not often, right? How many times do you just, instead of listening to the radio on the way to the work, instead of, you know, talking and looking at Facebook and all those other things, that you just spend time in peace and quiet thinking about your life and reflecting on your life? You see, we have so much noise in the world today that it's hard for us to get any peace and any quiet just to reflect and think about what God has in store for us. And so this message he has for us is a great one. But in order for you to be able to receive it, you're going to have to be honest with yourself this morning. You're going to have to let down your walls. And so if you have some walls that you're holding up, some barriers that you don't want people to be able to get to certain parts of your heart or certain parts of your life, you're going to have to let those walls kind of crumble. You're going to have to open the windows to your soul so that Jesus can speak to you through his word today. And if you'll be able to do that, the Lord will speak to you in a powerful way that may just change your life. You may just become a different person than you were when you came in here. if you can do those things. But it's tough. Not many people here this morning will be comfortable confessing that they have done some things this year, maybe this month, maybe this past week, maybe even this past day, that they're not particularly proud of. Anybody? Yeah? Yep. Yeah? I mean, hey, that's good. We got to admit to those things, right? How many people would admit that they've struggled with overcoming some type of sin or some type of problem in their life this year? Just struggled and struggled and struggled. Amen. That's good. That's good. How many people in the congregation today could say, you know, I think I understand what Paul was talking about in Romans when he said this, when he said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do it. For I do not want to do the good that I want to do, it doesn't happen. But the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. I think we can all agree, and Romans 3:23 says that we are all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. None of us are perfect here. That's why we need a Savior, right?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that why we celebrated Jesus' birth last week? Because we have a Savior, somebody who's saving us from these problems. So now that we've established, well, none of us are perfect. We've all made mistakes, and you've raised your hand so honestly and said, there's some things I kind of regret doing that I shouldn't have done this last maybe year, week, month, day, whatever it is. Maybe in the last 15 minutes you said something to that lovely person next to you that you need forgiveness for. Who knows? But now that we established, we all have problems. That none of us are perfect. Doesn't that make you feel good? You're not the only one with a problem. You can turn around and look, all these other people, they got problems too, just like you. Praise the Lord. That's good. Makes me feel good to know that everybody else has problems. I'm not the only weird one. You know what I mean? You're not the only one struggling with depression. Hey, if anybody's dealing with depression, I want you to know, you're not the only one struggling with depression. All those people that raised their hand, there's probably somebody else out there who's dealing with that. If you're a person who struggles with losing your temper, you're not the only one who struggles with that. There's a lot of people that deal with losing their temper. If you're one of those people that say, well, Pastor, you don't know, sometimes I slip up on my language.
Oh, yes.
Oh. I've had many of you in my office listening to you slip up on your language before. I know there's more than one of you out there, if we're going to be honest with each other, right? Folks, you aren't alone. We're a bunch of people that need some help. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're one of those people that deals with road rage, I know there's more than one of you in here today. Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm telling you, man, this is a sermon to convict us. This is a sermon to change our lives today. But now I ask. Now I ask a tough question. Oh, the suit's coming up. Now I ask a tough question. How many of you will be willing to admit? How many of you would be bold enough? How many of you would be strong enough to trust your church family and mention one of those things you struggle with? How many people here? Is there anybody who struggles? I'll start off. Is there anybody who struggles with patience?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Anybody struggle with patience? Let me see your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. We got a lot of problems here. Praise the Lord. You see, I'm doing this because it's going to help me write future sermons.
No. There you go.
All right, who else wants to share something they struggle with? Oh, I didn't even count myself in that one.
Roll it.
I better put a six there. All right, perfect. All right, what else? Thomas, you had your hand up. What do you want to share?
Let's go with...
So many to choose from.
Very much so. I'll go with the difficult one, lustful thoughts.
Lustful thoughts. All right, sounds good. All right, how many do we have that have struggled with lustful thoughts before? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. All right, good.
26.
26. At least we're all even numbers so far. Praise
how much struggle with lying?
Yeah, how many struggle with lying? There you go.
That should be everyone.
How many struggle with writing on a board? Lying, yeah, how many people struggle with lying before? Yep, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. You know what? 29 of you said you struggle with lying, but the rest of you are liars too because you didn't raise your hand. Man. Anybody else want to share one? Jordan?
Bitterness.
Oh, boy. Ooh. Woo. Man, oh, man. This is going to be a long message. All right, let's see. Raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. All right, 20 for that one. Oh, two hands for yes, Ronnie.
Temper.
Yes, temper problems. Man, that could be road rage, losing your temper for any reason. How many of those do we have? All right, I'll start on this side now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 32! Whoa, man, that one takes the cake!
Ooh, goodness.
My Lord, we've got a lot of problems in this church.
Did you win that number there?
No, I don't have any problem with that, do I? 33! All right, anybody else want to share with Angela?
Substance abuse.
Substance abuse, yeah, dealing with that stuff for sure. Let me see here. All right, let me see anybody who's dealt with that before is dealing with that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Yeah, 16. All right. All right, yeah, Eugene.
Right from where God's
timing. Yeah, that's a good one. Eugene said, how many people struggle with waiting on God's timing, you know? So let me think about that. Let me put this down there.
That was excellent.
32.
Waiting, all right.
3.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33.
That would be good.
Yep, I'm in that number.
Okay.
All right, one more.
Gluttony.
Gluttony. Man. Gluttony. Well, you say that and look right at me. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot. Man, this is why people suffer with depression, ain't it? No. All right, gluttony. Yeah, let's see those hands up. All right. There is too many to count in the church. I'm going to go with 40 just to be safe. The same number for that. Amen, amen. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we have a lot of problems. None of us are perfect by any means, right? Wouldn't it be great if we could wipe that board clean today? If all those things that we struggle with, somehow God could help us with one of those problems, that we wouldn't be able to have to deal with that anymore, that we could be done with that. And you know what's a better thing, I think, is if that somebody else would not judge us for that problem that we have, right?
Yeah.
As a Christian, we're not supposed to be judgmental of others towards their suffering. The scripture that I'm going to read you about here today talks about that, and we'll get into that in a little while. But wouldn't it be great if we could cast off that sin that so easily entangles us, like it says in Hebrews 12:1? Wouldn't it be great if we wouldn't have to be judged for those sins, but yet somebody would grab a hold of us, help us so that we could change that, whether that's the Lord or one of our fellow men or women in the church. I believe it can happen. I know it can happen. I think everything in life, there's so many other places where you get second chances, right? If you play golf, there's something called a mulligan. You get to redo the ball. If you're a kid, you typically get a do-over. You get another chance to be able to do something, right? And if you're in a, playing a little kid's game of basketball, like around the world, you got a second shot, even if you mess up. I mean, even Ronnie's not perfect in bowling. He has to use two balls sometimes to be able to get down the lake. But I'm telling you, it's nice to be able to have a second chance. And so as adults, Jesus also gives us a second chance, doesn't he? How many chances does he really give us? Ron, do you know? A lot of chances, amen. He gives us a lot of chances. And that's because he loves us so much. So listen to this encouraging message that God gives us in the scripture today. I'll tell you, I think when you look at it, the perspective that God gave me, it may just change the way that you think about the way the Lord deals with sin and judgment. So John chapter 8, I'm going to share with you just verses 2 through 6 for now. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in this woman who was caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap to try to have a basis to accuse Jesus. Now, first of all, we should recognize that, well, this woman indeed committed adultery. I mean, she was caught in the act. If you look at the law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it required that the man and the woman be brought in. So first of all, these guys that are trying to trap Jesus, they're not even bringing in both people. They're breaking the law of their own selves. Isn't that funny? So that's the first problem with the situation. The second part about this thing is that if these leaders are trying to use this woman as a trap to make Jesus look bad, to be able to try to find out if he's going to, one, is he going to give in and say, absolutely, let's stone her right now. If he does that, then they're going to go back to the Romans and they're going to say, hey, this Jew over here is trying to perform his own executions and you can't do that as a Jew. And if he says, no, I don't think she's guilty, we're not going to do that, then he's going against the law of Moses. So they figure, now we got Jesus trapped. And they use this woman who's committed adultery as a pawn. But you see, what these Pharisees are trying to do is use religion and use faith in Christ to tear people apart. But is that what Jesus was doing when he went to this temple? No, if you look at those two verses, Jesus came, he sat down to teach and bring the people together. So what is our faith really supposed to do? It's supposed to bring people together, amen?
Amen.
Our faith is supposed to bring good news to those that are hurting. It's supposed to bring comfort to those people that are lonely, to help those people that are struggling, to give those people hope that have no hope. It's supposed to be able to encourage each other. And most importantly, love is supposed to overcome all things, not condemnation. And so all these Pharisees want to do is condemn everybody. Condemn the woman. She's committed adultery. Let's get rid of Jesus. He's done the bad thing. They want to condemn everybody, going against completely everything that Jesus is teaching about how we can overcome with love. I mean, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to help those that were hurting. If you remember the time where he was sitting down with the tax collectors and they were picking on him, what is that guy doing? Supposed to be the Savior. Why is he sitting down eating with tax collectors? And you can read about that in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And here's what Jesus said. He said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. He says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous, but I've called them to call sinners to repentance. So our faith is supposed to be able to bring us together, not tear them apart. Jesus came to this temple. He sat down. He was there to be able to tell the people about the great things of the kingdom of God. Whereas these Pharisees meant it as something bad by bringing this woman in who was an adulterous woman. And so these Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus. They bring the woman in the temple, and instead of teaching this woman about the love of Christ, instead of teaching that lady about forgiveness and repentance, instead of trying to help that lady, what do they choose to do? They choose to condemn her. They choose to judge her. They would rather have her stoned to death than to see her change her ways and become a person with a new heart or a Christian. And sometimes I wonder, here's where it gets the toe-stepping on part. Sometimes I wonder if we can be as harsh as the Pharisees at times. Sometimes I wonder, are we more interested in bringing people closer to the Lord? Are we more interested in helping people? Are we more interested in judging people for their actions? Let's see how Jesus reacts to this situation. So verse 6 says, Jesus didn't answer him, says, but verse 6 says, Jesus bent down and he started to write on the ground with his finger. So instead of immediately responding to the situation, instead of firing back an answer, what he did was took his little finger and he started writing in the ground. Now, only the people who were there at the time know what Jesus wrote on the ground. Nobody else knows. It's not recorded anywhere. We can't read it. We can't study it. Only the people that were there know what was written on the ground. All we know is it started to take their thoughts off of wanting to stone that woman. It started to take their thoughts off of trying to trap Jesus and to look inward at themselves. So some theologians said, well, Jesus may have sat down there and he may have wrote the Ten Commandments down. That was something that convicted those men and women that wanted to stone that woman. Because they found out, well, they had sin in their life too. Other theologians believe that Jesus wrote direct sins or struggles that those people had that were in the crowd. Jesus could have very well done that. We don't really know. All we know is whatever Jesus wrote, to change the whole pattern of thought for both the men and women that were there during that time. Look what happens in verse 7. It says, Jesus straightened up and he says to them, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And instead of staring at him, again he stooped down and began writing on the ground. I love that. Because I think maybe we should think about those words next time we're tempted to judge someone instead of love them. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Maybe we should think about that verse next time we see somebody and we want to judge them instead of love them. Notice Jesus didn't deny the fact that this woman has sinned. He didn't deny that fact. He didn't tell her that what she did was acceptable. He didn't say, hey, it's okay to commit adultery. He didn't say that. But what Jesus did do is he told those Pharisees to take a good look at themselves. Take a good look at yourself before casting stones at somebody else. And that's good advice for us too, amen? We need to take a good look at ourselves before we start casting stones and being judgmental towards others. Jesus upheld the legal penalty for adultery, stoning, so he couldn't be accused of going against the law. But instead of starting the stoning, he said, hey, only a sinless person could throw the first stone. So instead of condemning her, he showed her compassion, he showed her love, and he showed her, maybe for the first time in her life, what forgiveness looked like. You know, there's many people we run into in the world that don't know what it's like to have forgiveness. They go through life and they don't know what it's like to be forgiven, to be truly set free. That whatever it is that they did, whatever it is that they ran across, that God will forgive them of it. Amen. See, she knows what I'm talking about. You see, when other people are caught in sin, you got to ask yourself, are we too quick to pass judgment? Are we acting so good like we never sinned? Is that how the Lord wants us to act? The Lord wants us to act in forgiveness and love and mercy. And I wonder, how well are you doing that today? How well am I doing that today? Think about it. Let's see what happened. It says in Matthew 6:14 and 15, says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know about you, but I want to be forgiven of my sin. So what does that verse mean, Bill?
It means we should not be judgmental of others.
Yeah, and that we got to forgive others, right? Amen, that's what it means. So if I want to start out 2019 in a good way and I want to wipe some of these things clean off my slate here, and I'm holding a grudge against somebody,
being judgmental should be at the top of the list.
It should be. You know, we didn't even mention that one. But you think about that. If I want to be forgiven of my sin, if I want to be forgiven of the bad things I've done, if I want God to help me with gluttony or any of these other things, if I have a grudge against someone, I need to forgive them of that sin. And you know what that means? Sometimes they won't accept your forgiveness. Sometimes they won't accept it, even if you ask them for forgiveness. But you have to make that decision in your heart that you're going to forgive that person. You're going to forgive that person. You're not going to hold it against them anymore. So that you can move on. That's the only way that you can move on. So let's see what happened. Let's see what happened once all this writing happened. And Jesus said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." Verse 9 says this. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left and the woman was still standing there. You know, even though this woman was guilty of adultery, not one person threw a stone at her. Not one. Instead, they reflected on what Jesus said and what he wrote, most likely. And they began to leave one by one, from the oldest to the youngest. Why did they leave from the oldest to the youngest? Because the oldest know more of what they've done wrong in their life, I believe. I believe the oldest know more of the sins they committed. I can't tell you how many older people have come to me in tears and said, "Pastor, it's just amazing that God can forgive me for all these things I've done in my life." And so the older, who were probably the most aggressive, left first. One by one, and then the young people left. And pretty soon nobody was there. And so look what God says in verse 10. Jesus straightens her up and he asks her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir," she said. Jesus said, "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and sin no more." Or as one version puts it, I like it better, it says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus didn't condemn the woman who was committed of adultery. But neither did he ignore her sin. He told her to go and leave her life of sin. To go and sin no more. So as we close the message today, what is Jesus telling you this morning? What is the Holy Spirit telling you this morning? Which one of these characters are you more like in the sermon today? Are you more like the Pharisee who wants to come in and condemn people and judge people and trick people because you think you're better than others? Or are you more like the adulteress, where you're guilty of sin? You struggle with problems in your life, but you're looking for forgiveness. You want a change in your life. Our faith is meant to bring us together under the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross that he died on when he paid the price for all of our sins. It's not for me to judge them. It's not for you to judge them. God wants us to love them, to help them. You know, I don't know one person who has ever, in my life anyway, wanted to come to Christ by someone being judgmental towards them or condemning them. But you know, I know a lot of people who have wanted to come and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior once they've been loved unconditionally the way that Jesus loves us. I have great news for you today. Regardless of whatever character you are, whether you're the Pharisee that wants to condemn people and are judgmental today, and if you are, remember, open your hearts. Be honest with yourself. Let God speak to you. Or if you're the person who's guilty of sin, you've been trying to overcome the sin, but you can't. You've been struggling and struggling and struggling. Maybe it's because you've been trying and you haven't really given it to the Lord. Whichever one of those people you're more like, the good news is God wants to wipe your slate clean. He wants to erase it like it's never been there anymore. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I love that verse. But you know there's one I love even more. In Acts 3:19 it says this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." Listen to this part. "And that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Who is in need of some refreshing from the Lord today? If you believe in the Scripture and you believe what God's Word says, you can have refreshing from the Lord today. Those struggles that are written up here on the board, they don't have to be lifelong struggles. These things don't have to be stuff that we suffer for all of our life. They don't. I mean, we can come up here and we can repent. We can say, Lord, I need help. I'm an impatient man, and I need help with patience, God. I can't do it on my own. Lord, help me. We can pray about that, and God can say, okay, today's a new day. We can come up here and we can say, God, I've been trying all these diet plans. I've been trying everything, cabbage soup diets. I've been trying Atkins diets. I've been trying exercise. And then God will say, have you really been trying exercise, Alan? Well, maybe not, God. Maybe I got a lying problem and a gluttony problem now. But you can say, God, I need help with this. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I need your help, Lord. Help me. And you know, God can say, okay, I'll help you with that. Say, Lord, there's a beautiful woman or a beautiful man that walks by, and I just can't help but they grab my attention. And that doesn't stop there. Then I start thinking about things and going down paths I shouldn't go down. Lord, you give me a beautiful mate, man or a woman. God, you've got somebody in mind for me I haven't even met yet. Lord, please take this from me. And God can work on that with you. He can work on that lying with you. That bitterness that you've developed years over years over years. If you really want to work on it, you can ask God, and He can take that from you. That temper that you've been struggling with, that has almost got you into fight after fight, almost lost your marriage, almost lost your job, you can pray about those things, and God can help you with those too. Substance abuse, God can say, instead of being addicted to these things, become addicted to me. Look at all the better benefits you get by that. I'm telling you, God can help with that. Waiting on God, patience is kind of following with that, waiting on what God wants you to do instead of jumping ahead. God's answer is always the best answer. And you know what's funny is we all know that. But we all struggle. We're like, God, I've been waiting on you for 3 days now. This decision's got to be made on the fifth day. It's like, you know, I created the whole world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That's great, God. But right now we're talking about this building. It's got to be made. And I can't wait no longer. So I'm robbing this bank unless you get this bill paid for me. And how does that work out for you? Pastor Allen, I'm in Lyon County Jail. Do you want to come visit me for a little while? Let's repent of this. God changes us. I'm telling you, we can be completely free of all those things we struggle with if we get serious with God. God took this woman who was an adulteress, caught in the act of adultery, who should have been stoned by the law of Moses. But God looked at her and saw the beautiful woman who she was inside, and He loved her for who she was and who she could be. And God blessed her with grace and mercy and patience. And God wants to do that very same thing with you. But just like God told her to go and sin no more, that's what He wants of you, and that's what He wants of me too. So it's up to you. You can start off this year with the same problems you had last year. Or you can come up here and say, God, I've been trying to solve this problem on my own and I can't do it anymore. Lord, I really need your help. And make a commitment to God. Make a commitment to yourself. Put in your phone. Everybody has phones nowadays. Put in your phone every day to remind you, I need to pray about my problem with anger. I need to pray about my problem with patience. I need to give waiting upon the Lord. I need to wait upon the Lord today. Whatever it is, put in your phone to remind you every day at a certain time so that you can stop what you're doing and get down and pray. I mean, there are tools, there are ways to help you overcome this. God wants you to be closer to Him this year. The only thing stopping you is you yourself. With God's help, I believe we can accept Christ's forgiveness. I believe we can stop our wrongdoing. And I believe our life can completely transform, just like that wonderful woman who no one could cast one stone. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, ask yourself today, what do you really want out of this new year? And come and talk to God about it. Please stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God. And I thank you for promises that you give us. Like if we will come before you and confess our sin, God, that you will forgive us. Lord, I thank you for promises that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So even though we're going through a trouble, even though we're going through a tribulation, God, that you're right there by our side. God, I thank you for promises that tell us, Lord, that you love us and that no one can snatch us out of your hand, Lord. But God, sometimes we deal with struggles, Lord, that we think are just us. We think maybe we're the only person in the world who deals with depression. We're the only person in the world that deals with gluttony or patience or lying. But God, as we saw here today, there's more than 20 people that have every single problem that we mentioned. God, we have all, we're struggling with these different things, Lord. And so, God, we want to cast our cares upon you, like the Word says, and let you carry our burdens for us, God. We want to come to you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness and repent and ask you to strengthen us, God, as we go through this new year. We don't have to have the same kind of year we had this year, Lord. We can have a better year. We can be closer to you. We can be closer to our family. We can be better friends and better relatives and better workers, Lord. God, we can do all kinds of great things, Lord. All we need is to have serious dedication to you, Lord. God, if we want to be solved of these things, if we want our slate clean in 2019, Lord, give us the strength, God, and give us the dedication to come and to give those problems to you today, Lord, and to try to make a change in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us and all you will continue to do for us. For it's in your name we pray, Lord.